Good morning. Before we start this week's shiur, I just want to go back for a moment, something that we discussed last week. We were talking about a person who is ma'abarat ma'ladas, a person who attempts to commit suicide. And we were discussing the shita of the Yamsha Shleima, the Minchas Chinuch, the Devei Malkiel, and the Ksav Sefer, that all hold that although normally there's a chiyuv of lo'samar adam re'echo, if a person's life is in danger, you have an obligation to go save him. If he is ma'abarat ma'ladas, he puts himself in harm's way, these places all hold, it's an aved midas, and you do not have an obligation to go ahead and to try to save him. Someone showed me after the shir that the Igros Moshe argues. The Igros Moshe in Yodei Chelik Beis Simon Kuf Ayin Dalet takes issue with this. He says, it's one thing but when you're talking about your money, if you want to make an aved midas, you want to put your money in harm's way, there's no chiyuv hashavas aveda. When it comes to a person's life, you're not a bialim. You don't have that authority. You don't have the right to kill yourself. And therefore, even if a person recklessly puts his life in danger, the chiyuv of hashava would still apply. The Chalkus Yoyev and Chelik Beisim and Peches and the Imar Al Diskin all pass on like the Igros Moshe, that there is a chiyuv hashava. Mitzad Sheni, Rabbi Yashiv brings down that the Shvos Yaakov in his Sefer Ian Yaakov on Yuma Daf Lamed Hey seems to argue. He seems to go with the Yamshel Shloimei. So Midei Sveik Oloi Nafga. But I certainly hope over the past week no one paskened based on last week's shir. Now we began the sugya of Hilchus Kedima, how to prioritize your tzedakah dollars. And as we said over, there's a Sifri that learns out that there's a hierarchy. First, a person has to give to his relatives, then to Aniyei Ircha, people in the city. After that comes Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and finally comes everybody else. Now, to go through in a bit more detail, the first obligation a person has is Chayecha Koidman. He has to support himself, his wife, and his children. That comes before tzedakah. So we'll discuss when we get to the Hilchos Ma'aser Ksavim exactly how much a person has to give and when we say this is Yechayecha Koidman. But conceptually, the first thing you have to do is take care of your obligations. What you give your wife is not tzedakah. What you give your wife is your obligation at your Chiyuv Ksuba. The same thing applies to your young children. Certainly until the age of 6, you have a Chiyuv Maker Hadin to support your children. It's not tzedakah. It's your obligation for a Ksuba. Now, there are those that extend it. Ruchaim Kanievsky understands that the chiyuv for your children goes until their bar or bas mitzvah. There's an Igros Moshe that says that today, because of the chiyuv ksuba, you may have to support your children until they're old enough to be self-sufficient. We'll get back to that when we discuss Hilchos Ma'aser Ksavim, what it means as far as counting your tuition or things like that for your Ma'aser Cheshbon. We'll get back to that. But Kopanim, that's the first priority. Make sure that what your mechuyev to do is being met. The next step, once you're giving tzedakah, the highest priority is parents. There's a chiyuv kibud av v'em, and therefore, we can force a person, if he has any tzedakah money, if his parents are aniyim, your first dollars have to go to tzedakah. Now it comes out that's even before supporting your older children. As if you have a child who's under 6, or the different shitas under 13, so that's a chiyuv mikra hadin, they would come first. But once your children are old enough that you don't have a chiyuv to support them, so now already you're talking about what to do with your tzedakah dollars. So there, your parents come before your children. Now, although your parents have kedima, there is another halacha. The Gemara says that tavei ma'ara on a person, there's a klala, that a person who supports his parents with tzedakah money is should be cursed. It's a bezoyin to your parents to be giving them money from tzedakah. So if a person can afford to, if his parents are aniyim, he has an obligation to support them and to help them out with his own personal funds, not to use money that was set aside for tzedakah. If he can't, if he doesn't have extra funds available, and so then the parents do have kedima, he gives them the tzedakah money. But if a person is wealthy enough, he should not be supporting them with tzedakah money, he should be giving his own private funds to help support his parents. Now, after parents come children, the children that are old enough that they're not included in the chiyuv. After children or grandchildren comes grandparents. According to most Paiskim, there is a chiyuv of kibra av on grandparents. It's not the same level as a parent, but they would have kedima over other relatives, over brothers, over cousins, uncles, nephews. The grandparents would come first. So it's mixed. The Bach over there stels su and compares because there is a mitzvah of kibra av. Therefore, they have kedima in hilchos tzedakah. Correct. So the Chasam Sofer points out that it's true. It's only Mishalav. But he says two things. When a person is giving tzedakah anyway, he says we can force him to give all the tzedakah money to his parents because once it's anyway has to be given to tzedakah, then he says it's not called Mishal Ben anymore because either way it has to be given. So that's why Meikar Hadin, if a person has tzedakah money, it's not called Mishal Ben because it's money that either way he can keep. Now, on top of that, the Gemara does say that giving them tzedakah money, what you can afford to pay with yourself, is tavei ma'ara. That is not a din as far as a chiyuv tzedakah. That is a din in bezayin. To do something which is an embarrassment to your parents, that would be usur, and therefore to avoid doing that, you should be using your own money. No, the Tavi Mar, the klala of giving using tzedakah to support rel is applies only to a parent. There's no klala of using tzedakah money. Adrabah, the halacha is that if you have a person has a child who's an ani, and the person has excess has tzedakah funds, the halacha is your koyfa him to support his kroivim first. It's only parents with his mitzvah kibana ve'em. There's a klala to use tzedakah money if you have another option. Now, after a person's kroivim, there's a discussion about his wife's relatives. There's a machlokes, Maram Ziskin paskins that your wife's relatives do not have the halacha of a kroiv. They have kedima over other aniyim, but they will come after your relatives. He actually paskins you should give them a ratio of 3-1. For every $3 that you give to your relatives, you should give $1 to your wife's relative. The Aruch HaShulchan argues, Aruch HaShulchan says, Ishtai Kegufoi, and he says they have the regular Kedima. And again, for Shalom Bayis reasons, they're probably wise to follow the Psak of the Aruch HaShulchan.
Let's just say, for instance, you don't have any in your family. It's just a shout out giving globally, and your wife's...
So even the Maram Ziskin that says that your wife's kroivim do not have the status of kroivim, he does say they have kedima over other aniyim. He says they're equivalent of aniyei ircha. So they would come before strangers, they would come before other places, but if there are other aniyei ircha, you would split it between them. Now this is as far as relatives. The next level in the hierarchy is giving aniyei ircha, to give aniyim that are in your city. And in fact, the Sifri breaks it down. Actually, the Tanit Be'elio breaks it down to another level. He says, first you give to the aniyim in your shchuna, in your immediate vicinity, in your chotzer, which is a cluster of three houses. Then you give to the aniyim in your mavoy, in your alleyway, on your block. And then afterwards, you give to the rest of the city. Now, we don't find anywhere when an ani knocks on the door, you take his address, you Google it, and you see who is the, you know, how far away exactly he lives. We find there's a kedima if he lives in your chotzer, in your mavoy. But once he's past that, once he's not on the block, there's no makar to say if this ani lives 5 blocks away, this ani lives 10 blocks away, and therefore one should have kedima over the other. There, as long as they're in the same city, they would all be the same. Now, once upon a time, this is a very simple halacha. They're in your city, they have kedima. They live outside of your city, they don't. Today, this is a little bit more complicated. How do you define a city? Now, we're here in Muncie, Wesley Hills, Kesser. Is that aniye ircha or not? Do you go by the tchum? Do you go by the zoning? So there's not much discussion because this is really a new shaila. But there is an interesting, you know, it's not. That may have been the purpose, but if it has a separate government, if they have separate, different city, different rules. Excuse me.
Not
It's only zoning, taxes, and everything are all the same? Okay. What? It's a completely new village, new set of rules. Okay. So I did see an interesting discussion. The Knesset HaGedolah, the Shiur Knesset HaGedolah that brings down, actually one after another. First he brings down a Radach that says, what happens if you have two Aniyim in the city? One davens in your shul, the other one doesn't. Do you give Kedima to the one that davens in your shul? So Radach says, no. They're both Aniyei Yercha, they're both in your city. He does daven in your shul, he doesn't. It doesn't make a difference. And they have equal status. In the next paragraph, the Knesset HaGedolah brings down a Tshuvas Re'im. And there he says, he's talking about two people who lived in the same city, but it was a separate kehillah, it was a separate shul. And there he says, your shul, your kehillah has kedima. Anyone who's in the other kehillah, even though he lives in the same city, he says, there's no dine kedima. Now, if you look carefully at this Re'im, and the Knesset HaGedolah brings down both of these one after another, it doesn't seem to be a machlokes. But if you look carefully at the tshuva, his case was that you had two kehillahs in one city, but the kehillahs were in a fight. There was a machlokes. And they were completely separate. They had their own shuls, they had their own schools, they had their own base hakfaris. Everything was completely separate. They happened to have been located in the same city. So in that case, the Re'im paskins, you want an Aniyei Yercha, and Aniyei Yercha goes by the kehillah. And if you have people who are in a completely different kehillah, even though they happen to be in the same city limits, he says, there they do not have dine kedima. Masha'en Kain, the Radach that the Knesset HaGedolah was bringing down, so I didn't see the tshuva inside, but Mustami is talking about a case. It's a regular, it's a community, and it's one big kehillah. They all send their kids to the same schools. They have one base akvaris. They have one. It's one big kehillah, but they happen to be separate shuls. It's spread out. The shuls aren't big enough, so they have a separate shul. So in that case, Aniyei Yercha, you go. You don't look at the shul. You look at the fact they're in the city. But if it's a completely separate kehillah, there already the halacha would be different. So arguably, if you have a separate kehillah, if you have a two chassidusin that manage to coexist within one city limit. So if it's completely separate kehillahs and everything is independent of each other, there each one would probably not have the status of and the kedima of Aniyei Yercha with respect to the other one.
Even though they're friendly each other, they just
Correct. Friendly, we don't find anywhere there's a kedima to a friend. Now, although at least in Hilchos Kedima. So, you know, hopefully they would get along, they would be chaverim, but this milo of Aniyei Yercha, they're not going to have if it's completely separate kehillah, and there's no overlap between the two of them. So the place can do discuss it. They discuss in the context of a chassidus. If someone is a member of a chassidus and they're all over the world, do they have a din of Aniyei Yercha? I think with chassidus it's not so much of a shayla because it's usually kroivim also. But they discussed that. They also discussed there was a kedima. They used to have the kupas of Meir Balanes. What they used to do is each kehillah used to support aniyim in Eretz Yisrael or a koil in Eretz Yisrael that came from their city. So that was a little bit different. They were natives of the city that moved to Eretz Yisrael. And there's a discussion. They seem to be, some of the poskim do say there's a kedima because you know they sort of stretch the concept and say that once they were from your city, there's a shaykhus, that's enough to give them the din of Aniyei Yercha.
So let's say you have a large city and there's a chassidus in the city and there are people that don't affiliate with that.
Correct. If they have their own moises and everything is separate, according to this Tshuvas Re'im, it's two completely separate kehillos, and it wouldn't have a din of Aniyei Yercha. Not Kroivim. He's talking about Aniyei Yercha.
I understand. That's the concept in Halacha of Kroivim or Shenim or Zeh is that these people are relying on you. If the people down in Yeshua, you're expected to take care of each other. Okay, so,
well, the expectation, what comes first? The expectation is L'chari because of the din of Aniyei Yercha.
The
point that not the Re'eim, but the point that the Radach is making is that the unit that we're looking at is the community. And if people in the community rely on each other, and the fact that you have the daven somewhere else doesn't make you into a, doesn't make you a separate kehillah. You send your kids to the same schools, you deal with, there's the one base akfaris, we're all ending up in the same place anyway. And therefore, the fact that you daven somewhere else on Shabbos because you live on the other side of town doesn't take away their dinei kedima. And you do find, if you look at the tshuva, some places can take these concepts literally. They make rules out of it. What for others sort of stretch the kind. They say, we see from this that the closer you are to someone, the more priority they get. And therefore, if you know a person better, you're friendly with him, they use all of the, you know, these kind of arguments, you know, more in a musardik way to give kedima. But it's not clear in halacha whether it's really in hilchus kedima, they would come first simply because you know them better. There is, I mean, the Chochmas Adam brings down a yesh oimrim, that this din that you give to neighbors, he says, is only if you know the neighbor, you're friendly with them. And it's based on, it's in Cheshmish, but in Hilchus Mitzrayim, by Dina Dibay Metzra, you find such a chiluk. But others argue. Others say it's a din of Aniyei Ercha, and therefore a Shechenim, doesn't matter, you do know them, you don't know them. With your neighbors, you have to give them first. So in Dina Dibay Metzra, there's a discussion about other things. If you have an opportunity to sell something, you also find Dina Kedima. But there are some differences between those Dina Kedima and Dina, as far as the Talmud Chacham, this difference as far as if you know the Shachin, there also might be a difference. So it's not the same, but you do find similar halachas of Kedima there.
Is there any distinction you don't want that 20 years or the guy over 2 years?
You don't find, in halacha you don't find such a thing. Again, if you're going to use this concept, you know, and broaden it and just say it's the closer you are to someone, the more the chiyuv, then perhaps. But you don't find in halacha such a distinction. Now, after Aniyei Ercha comes Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Aniyei Eretz Yisrael have kedima over other places. The Chasam Sofer breaks it down another level. He says Aniyei Yerushalayim come before Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and Aniyei Eretz Yisrael come before other Aniyei. Now, this of course creates sort of an incentive to make Aliyah. If you have an Ani, he's going around collecting, he's not making it. He has a very simple idea now. Let him move to Eretz Yisrael, and then walk around collecting and saying, I need Eretz Yisrael. And suddenly he cuts ahead of the list before all the Aniyim of another city. So Zog the Chasam Sofer, nothing doing. To qualify for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, you need one of two things. Either you need to be a native, you need to have been born there, you need to be or he says, you have to move to Eretz Yisrael while you had money. Where you moved there, you had a business, you retired, you had your savings. Afterwards, you become an Ani, so you're qualified for Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. But if you were an Ani beforehand, and then you moved to Eretz Yisrael, you said you can't go ahead and now claim this right, this kedima, because there you're being mafsid, the real Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, the bona fide, the natives, and there he says you would not have a kedima. So you have to either have been born there, or in the very least, move there before you fell upon hard times. It's from the Pasuk. It's Ba'artzecha. It's learned out of the Pasuk. Chasam Sofer extends it and says, the point is, because he's living in a place of more Kedusha, that gives him more Kedima. And based on that understanding, Chasam Sofer says, if you live in Yerushalayim, you have Kedima over the rest of Eretz Yisrael.
What about the rest of Eretz Yisrael, the
Klal, that's Correct. That's the Sifri. That's learned out of the Pasuk. Chasam Sofer is the one that breaks it up and says, even in Eretz Yisrael, since Yerushalayim has more of a Kedusha, that has Kedima over other places. It's actually an interesting tshuva, the Chasam Sofer. It seems that people who were moving to Eretz Yisrael were moving to Tzfas. That was the in place. So Chasam Sofer has a tshuva railing against it, saying if once you're moving to Eretz Yisrael, you're going there because of the Kedusha, you should move to Yerushalayim. And Mitaych Advarim, he says, in Chus Tzedakah, they have Kedima as well. So the Shevet Halevi discusses that. He says the new city, what's called Yerushalayim, but he says who says it has the same Kedusha? He's not Machriya. Could be correct. He's not Machriya. He brings down the question, he's not Machriya. He says it could be now it's all connected, and therefore perhaps it does have Kedima. He's not Machriya. Okay, good. It discusses the Shaila. He's not Machriya. So next time someone knocks on your door, you could ask him for his address. But
is that how much you give also
Okay, good. So like this. So now that we've gone through the Seder HaKedima, this leads us to a fundamental question. What does Kedima mean? What does it mean? Does it mean you give all of your tzedakah to the first person on the hierarchy? So the Aruch HaShulchan is very bothered by this. He says, what's going to happen? What we've said is, the first thing you do is you give your tzedakah to your kroivim. So the Aruch HaShulchan, every wealthy person has kroivim who are aniyim. So if the halacha is you give it all to your kroivim, it'll come out that Nebuch the ani, who's not well connected, who's born into the wrong family, he'll die of hunger. And it's the same thing with city. You have some cities that are very wealthy. There are many gvirim. So the aniyim that live in that city, they'll be well taken care of. But what about the aniyim in Kiryat Sefer? The aniyim that live in a place where they don't have ashir. So if everyone's going to follow Hilchus Kedima, you'll end up with that aniyim from a poor city will literally die of hunger. Zog the Aruch HaShulchan, this cannot be. And therefore, what the Aruch HaShulchan paskins is that the Kedima means you have to give it priority. You have to focus, the lion's share of your tzedakah has to be, start with your kroivim, then move to Aniyah Yerucha, Aniyah Eretz Yisrael, and then other cities. But the Zog the Aruch HaShulchan, you cannot go ahead and exclusively give your tzedakah only based on this hierarchy. You have to spread it out somewhat. He says there are no rules. We can't give you a formula or exact numbers. But he says Kedima just means priority. It does not mean exclusivity. Now, interestingly, the Chassam Sofer limits this. Chassam Sofer says when it comes to a parent, if a parent needs tzedakah, you have to give them everything. You don't give any. If a person has a parent that needs the money, you have limited stock of funds, it all goes to your parents because of Kibbutz Av. But after that, he says, that's already where this question comes up, Kedima, not Kedima, but parents would get everything. Now, this is the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. He says that his priority, he doesn't give a precise number. The Chazon Ish and many other Achroinim say you should split your money in half. Half should go to your kroivim, and the other half you give to other aniyim. Now, although they don't speak it out, what really should come out is that half should go to your kroivim for kedima, the other half should probably go to aniyah yercha for kedima. Of the other half you're giving to aniyah yercha, I guess you split that in half, and a quarter goes to aniyah Eretz Yisrael. And in stama, you keep on slicing the pie in half, so this way everyone will get something. But each level will get twice as much as the level beforehand. Now, the truth is, there's another question that we have to deal with. And that is, although the Sifri goes through Hilchus Kedima, this is a regular hierarchy, the Kroivim, Aniyah Yerucha, Aniyah Eretz Yisrael, etc. There's another Gemara. And the Gemara darshins from Yebucha Evyon, that an Evyon comes before an Ani. An Evyon is someone who is more desperate. He has less money than an Ani. So halacha is, if an Ani and an Evyon come in front of you, an Evyon comes first. And the Gemara darshins, Toav, Toav, Koidim. Person who needs it more should have Kedima. So if you have two people, they're both Aniyah Yerucha that come to you. One needs food. The other one needs clothing. The halacha is, you take care of the food first. And in general, whatever you look at the two people that are coming to you, one of them has a more basic need, his utilities are off, the other person has a need which isn't as pressing. The halacha is tov, tov, koidim. Now this halacha is said in the context, two people who are of equal kedima, they're both local on yim, they ask you. So there you give to the one that needs more. What do you do when there's a conflict between these two hierarchies? There's a relative that needs the money for utilities, but there's a rachik, there's someone who's not a relative, who needs it for food. So the first set of rules we had said your relatives come first. But the second Gemara that says tov, tov, kaid, the one who needs it more comes first. So what do you do in such a case? So over here, there's a hafla that makes a very interesting chiluk. He says it depends what we're talking about. He has a whole drasha from the pasuk. We're not going to go through into how he dashes it. But he says like this: the kedim of aniyah ircha. He says that's only when they have the same need. Someone, there's a local ani. There's an ani from another place. If their need is the same, they both need food, they both need utilities, there, ani erecha kodem. Masha'en kein, if you have someone from another city, there's a person who lives in Seagate, he's homeless. And then you have ani erecha, that Baruch Hashem have a home, their need, but they have a lesser need. There you do not give kedima to ani erecha. There you say, to'av to'av kodem. There you say, give it to the greater need. The kedima of the local aniyim is only when we're talking about the same kind of need. Everyone needs food, ani erecha comes first. Everyone needs shelter, ani erecha comes first. But if the aniyim from another city have a more basic need, there the haflah says, you have a chiv to give them first. Zog the haflah. That's when we're talking about local aniyim, ani erecha versus other aniyim. When you're dealing with kroivim, the halacha is different. Kroivim, he is medayik from the pasuk. He says kroivim overrides the din of tov tov kroivim, and therefore, if you have a relative that is lacking his day machzayre, and you have other aniyim that have a more basic need, there the haflah says your relatives come first. That overrides tov tov kroivim. Now, obviously, if someone's life is in danger, the pikuach nefesh comes first. But the absence of pikuach nefesh, the haflah paskins, your relatives do come first. Now, it's not clear in the haflah. If you look at the haflah inside, if you're medayik the haflah inside, and the Shevet HaLevi learns like this, it sounds like he's saying this only by either your parents, according to Chazam Sofer, or your children, immediate family members, members of your household. They have kedima even if their needs are less. However, other relatives, brothers, uncles, cousins, nephews, there in the haflah itself, it sounds like they do not have this special kedima. And if a rochak, if someone else has a more pressing need, you would give them first. However, many achroinim, the Chavetz Chaim, and others, learn the haflah is really lavdafka, and they say any relative comes before a greater need.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So the Paiskim say that if you don't know what will be tomorrow, then you just give today. If you know the person there, he just hasn't come yet, that is debatable. But certainly the fact that maybe in the future there will be a relative that will need money, that certainly does not go into the calculation. If the yoni is in front of you today, give him today. So what comes out l'halach l'mais is we really have to... We'll get to that. Well, we've been discussing regular hilchus tzedakot. Okay, you know, we'll get to that. So what comes out is, in our original question of how much kedim, or how much do you give people who are higher up on the hierarchy? So the first we have the chazanish paskin, the kedima never means all of it, it just means half. Aruch HaShulchan said a similar concept. There were many achronim that said that. In addition, we have another calculation, who needs the money more? In a case where the aniyim who are not kroivim, aniyim from another city, need the money more, there, by aniyei eracheres, the poskim say there is no seder kedima whatsoever. By kroivim already, there, the poskim said that kroivim still have kedima, although it's somewhat questionable which kroivim are included in this. So halach l'maisa, most places can say in any circumstance, a person should never give more than half of his money to his kroivim. Certainly not in a case where the other aniyim need it more. In a case where your kroivim have special needs, they already in special circumstances, there you can give more of your money to tzedakah. But in a normal case, you should be splitting it. Roughly half of it should be going to kroivim, and the rest of it should go to other aniyim. Now the Gris Moshe has a very interesting pshara. He brings down this question of how much to give each, and you know, he goes back and forth. And then he says, even if al pi halacha, you can give everything, all of your tzedakah money to kroivim, he says you shouldn't do it. Because he says it's going to create a chilul Hashem. People are not going to realize what you're doing, that you're saving all of your money, giving it to your relative. They're going to think, you don't give tzedakah, you don't give to yeshivas, you don't give to other aniyim, and they're going to see what you're doing, and it'll discourage other people from giving tzedakah. And therefore, the Gris Moshe says, regardless of what you paskin technically in halacha, how far the dine kedima goes, he says you should not give all of it to tzedakah, to kroivim. You should give a chelek chashuv, a significant amount, but you should always make sure to be giving some amount of tzedakah to other people. So the place can compare it to psula yedus, which means up to the third, you know, rishon mishul, you know, certainly cousins, uncles, nephews are included. Once you get to the third generation, it's rei machlokes. Past that would not be included. Excuse me. Good. So that we haven't discussed yet. We've been discussing kedima in hilchos tzedakah. Everyone is aniyim. There's another whole discussion. We're going to deal with that when we get to Ma'aser Ksavim, which we're getting there. Don't keep on pushing it off. But when we talk about Ma'aser Ksavim, what you can use Ma'aser money for, what's included in tzedakah, we're going to discuss where or how yeshivas and supporting Torah fits into the hierarchy. Now, within aniyim, if you have an ani who's a talmud chacham, there a talmud chacham has kedima. However, as far as where to fit it in with the rest of the hierarchies, a Talmud Chacham certainly, a Karoi, the relative, certainly has Kedima even over a Talmud Chacham. Even though your relative is an Am Haaretz, that comes before a stranger who is a Talmud Chacham. And a Yeircho already is a Machloikis. What comes first? An Yeircho who's an Am Haaretz, or a Talmud Chacham from an Ani Yeracheres, that is a Machloikis HaPoiskim. Well, a Kupas Eir has a Kupas Ezer or a local tzedakah has a mile of Ani Eircha. And therefore, when a person has to decide to give his money, the focus should first be on Ani Eircha, first his relatives, after that comes Ani Eircha, which would be the Toim Chesh Abbas, the Kupas Ezer, whatever the local organizations are. After that, and we said that it shouldn't be exclusively, doesn't mean, you know, to Ani Eircha, but to a lesser extent, you should be giving to Ani Eretz Yisrael, and obviously you should be giving to a place that you trust.
So those have to be
You give the tzedakah to the place that you trust it's going to. It has the correct oversight. There are all sorts of halachas about the qualifications of a gabbai tzedakah. Gabbai tzedakah has to be someone who is trustworthy. He knows the halachas, and so you should be giving the money to a place that you have confidence in its management, in its gabbai, that the money is going to the right place. So if the way you're going to get that confidence is by reading letters, so then that's how you get that confidence. If you know personally a Moisin and Eretz Yisrael that you have a personal connection and you trust them, you can give it to them. The point is to make sure that it goes to Aniyim or who deserve it with the right priority. Now, until now we've been discussing the Dinei Kedima, where to prioritize your money, and again, as we pointed out, we're discussing within Aniyim how to prioritize Maestas. We'll get to when we start Maestas Ksafim, which Mitzvah will do right after Chanukah. One other issue, which today is a fairly big issue, is who are you allowed to take tzedakah from? Can you accept tzedakah from Goyim? Can you accept tzedakah from people who are Mechal Shabbos or people who are not from? And for that matter, can you take tzedakah from government programs? Now, a while ago, I was at a pre-dinner meeting for a moisa that I was involved with, and there was a discussion about getting honorees, and there was a fellow there who worked for a very large organization, and in the back and forth about who should be honored, so he said like this. He said, today, the name of the game is finding honorees that have a lot of goyim that they work with. Why? He said, today, within the Frum community, everyone's washed out. Everyone has a relative, a neighbor, a friend who's constantly being honored. There are so many moistas. So it's very hard to really solicit funds for someone for an honoree within the community. But if you have someone who works with Goyim, he deals with Goyisha companies, they don't know what this idea of tzedakah is. No one ever approached them before. And therefore, if you honor them, that's a good way to bring in money to the moistas. Now, whether it's right or not, I have no idea. Leave it to the experts. But halacha, is this so pashut? Can you honor people? Can you be soliciting funds for tzedakah for goyim? So as we're going to see, there are two separate sugyas that discuss this matter. We'll start with the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chavav. We have in the Gemara Mekaymes. And the Gemara says a very cryptic one. Amar of Nachman, Oichli Dover Acher, Someone who eats davar acher. Now, davar acher usually means chazer. So, oichli davar acher, someone who eats davar acher, psul le'edus, are possible for edus. And what the more qualifies, v'hani mi b'farhesir. This is only when you do it in public. Al v'tzin oloi. But if it's private, it's quiet, no one sees you, you're not puzzled leedus. Mefarhesi nami loy amran elo de efshar le latzuni b'tzino. Kamavazi nafshay b'farhesi. Aba loy efshar le chiyusehu. This halacha that if you eat davar acher, you're puzzled leedus is only when you do it in public. If you do it privately, you're not puzzled leedus. And regardless, it's only when you have an option, when you have a way to eat otherwise. But if there's nothing else to eat, then you're not puzzled leedus. Now, Tesis points out that if oichle davar acher meant you're eating pig, then there's no difference whether you're eating in public or in private. You're pasul eidus. So the pshat over here, Tesis says, pshat is like Rashi. Oichle davar acher means a person that accepts tzedakah from a goy. If you accept tzedakah from a goy in public, there you're pasul eidus. However, the Gemara says, if it's done b'tzino, if it's done quietly, or if the person has no other alternative, then he does not become pasul eidus. Now the Rishonim have two pshatim in this Gemara. Rashi learns that it's a chilul Hashem. That to go ahead, when a yid takes money from tzedakah from a goy in public, it's a chilul Hashem. Because it's a bezayin for Klal Yisrael that we do not take care of our own. That we have another yid, we have our brother, we're not taking care of, we're not supporting him. He has to come on to a goy. That's a chilul Hashem, and that is why he's pasul eidus. Mashen kein, if it's betzino, or if he has no other choice, there the Ramah says that the Chazal weren't goyzer, and there will be mutter. But Rashi learns it's be'ikr al tzchol Hashem. The Rambam and the Yad Ramah have a different pshat. They say the pshat is, and it's really meduyik in the Gemara, they says the pshat is, it's a bezoyin, it's a pchisis to go ahead and to take money from a goy. Just like there's a halacha of someone who eats while he's walking in the street, is pasul eidus. Not because there's an isser of eating in the street. The reason is, if a person has no self-respect, is walking through the street munching on a sandwich, someone who doesn't have any dignity, the same way he'll be mavaza himself berabim because he doesn't have any self-respect, he'll lie, he'll say, Eidus Sheker, we cannot accept his testimony. So it's not a pshat, according to them, it's not a pshat of Chilul Hashem, it's not so much the Isser, it's the pshat that a person that does his berabim is mavaza himself, we can't trust him. Now, based on this, it comes out, this Isser is only when it's done by Rabbim. If it's done privately, there the Isser would not apply. How do we define Rabbim? So over here, the Beis Hillel in Yerodeus and Reish Nun Dalet says, Rabbim means, he compares it to the halachas of Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem. It means it has to be done in front of 10 Jews. If you don't have 10 Jews seeing it, that's called Betzina, and that's Mutter. This is it. So it'll come out that if a person is waiting online by a goyish soup kitchen, I mean, assuming the soup is kosher, so he's sitting there outside waiting online and everyone's walking by the street and sees him, so that would be makabo, he's accepting tzedakah from a goy b'farhesia, so that would be usher if he had any alternative. Mashenkein, if he's quietly accepting money, he's on a government program or something, he just happens through the mail, he goes into an office, it's being done privately, there this isser would not apply. What? So if where you're applying there are 10 people in front of you, then that would be a farhesia. The Zera MS actually says that even if you have to go to the goy's office, he says if you can be toileted on something else, people see you walk into the goy's house and they see you leave. But maybe you're there because you borrowed money from him, or maybe you're there, you're doing business with him. So the Zera MS says if there's any tliya, you don't have to be machmer. Now, his case is you're going to a goy's house. Well, if you walk into a HUD office, right, if you're walking into a food stamp office, I don't know what you can be toileted. So then this halacha would apply. And in Echnami, if it's done before Hasi, if it's done in front of 10 people, you would run into this shayla. We're going to get back to government programs. There'll be another, it's not going to be so simple. But at least kipshuta, if you're taking it directly from a goy, if it's done before Hasi, 10 Jews know about it and they see you, that would be usher, again, assuming you were able to live without it. What? Good. So that we're going to get to. We're going to discuss goyim, and we're going to have to discuss a mumra mechal Shabbos as well. And another point is we're just talking about taking tzedakah. Honoring someone is a third issue. We're not going to get to it all today, but we will, Mirtz Hashem, cover all the questions. Excuse me?
Proving that are Kalash, like a brother or something, that's sister that's Kalash Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
They still fit in that?
As far as Kedima, there's a separate halacha that we discussed. If someone is a mumer, there's lav dafka, any halacha of giving him tzedakah. So the Chazon Ish says that's only by a mumer, either lahachis or a mumer. Today, where many people have a din of a tinik shenishba, this would not apply. But conceptually, if you have a real, you know, the person went off the derech and it became a kofer, and you don't have these justifications or to make him into a tinik shenishba, then they would fall off the list. There's no din of a chayich imach. In a practical sense, again, the poskim today generally are consider most people tinik shenishba. Okay, it's actually this distinction, the Zera Emes, actually he brings down this machlokes what the pshat is, and he says a nafkamina is he had a case where there were a bunch of Jews that were in debtor's prison, they were rotting in jail, no one was able, people weren't able to be paid to them, and the king sent money to get all the debtors out of jail, so when it's not, you're allowed to accept it. So he discusses, first of all, if you have no other option, it could be it's mutter anyway. That's the Gemara. But then he discusses whether it's b'fai hafsir or not. But then he says like this: if the reason why it's usher is chilul Hashem, so whether you asked him for the money or he sent it, you have the same chilul Hashem. The chilul Hashem that we see that the Jews don't take care of the Aniyah Yisrael, and you have to come on to Goyim. Mashenkein, he says, if the halacha, if the isser is like an oichel b'shuk, you're mevaza yourself. He says, that's only when you're waiting in line in the soup kitchen, you're asking the goy for money. Going to a goy to ask for money, that's a bezoyan, that will make him posel edus. Mashenkin, if he, on his with his own initiative, he sends the check to you, there he says, even if it's befar hesia, if you have another option, he says, the isser would not apply because you didn't do anything. He sent it to you. But in a chanami, if in a case where you have another option and it's being done befar hesia, according to Rashi, who initiated it would not make a difference. Okay, good. Good. It's not pashut at all. We'll get to that. Okay, so that's the next. So this is all the sugya in Sanhedrin. There's another sugya that discusses what? The Shevet Halevi actually says b'svara, if he gives you an interest-free loan as a chesed, he says it should be the same. Then he brings down from the Das Torah not like that, because he says that the, you know, we'll get back to it later, but he says really the guy is ready to give anyone an interest-free loan. The reason why he's giving only to the Jew is the Jew is the only one that he trusts. Therefore, he says it could be it's a different halacha. We'll get back to that in the context of. Okay, so I just want to briefly start the next sugya, and we're going to have to revisit all of these questions after we do this Gemara. But the Gemara in Bava Basra has the following story. If Rehormuz, Ime Deshvar Malka, if Rehormuz was the mother of the king, Shadra Abrame Dinri Lekame Dravami, she sent 400 dinrim to Ravami to distribute to tzedakah. So this goyish lady sent a huge amount of money to the gabbai to give out. So what happened? So today you'd honor such a person. You put a dinner, put out the advertisement. Gemara says v'lo kibli. He rejected it. He said thank you, but no thanks. He sent the check back. So what happened? So this lady didn't give up. Shadrinu kamei de Rava. She sent the money to Rava. So there kablinu. Rava accepted the tzedakah. He said he took it. Why? So Mishum Shalom Malchus. The reason why Rava agreed that really he shouldn't be taking the money, but Mishum Shalom Malchus. This was the king's mother. You don't mess with the king's mother. And therefore he accepted the tzedakah. Now Rav Ami, the Bris Moshe point says that Rav Ami lived in another country. That's why he wasn't worried about getting on her bad side. But Rava, Mishum Shalom Malchus, accepted it. Shalom Rav Ami, the Ikvin Rav Ami heard that Rava took it. He was upset. The pasuk says that that the goyim when they use up their schus of chesed, that's when the gula will come. As long as they have the schus of tzedakah, then they will, their machos will continue and the gula will not come. So by accepting the tzedakah, you're making the galus longer. So the Rava Mishum Shal Machos, Rava didn't have a choice, even though he wouldn't have accepted the money, Mishum Shal Machos, he had to take it. So the Gemara says, Ramavi Nami, Mishum Shal Machos. So it's a good time. Why was he upset at Rava? He should have recognized that Rava was afraid of the king. So the Gemara says, the boy mufaginu but aniya of the kechavim. Even when you have to accept the money, Mishum Shal Machos, you shouldn't distribute it to Jews. You should give it out to aniyim who were goyim. And the Gemara says, and that's really what Rava did. He didn't advertise it. That's why Rami didn't know about it. But to accept money from a goy causes galus to last longer, and that's why you cannot accept money from goyim, even if you have to accept it, you give it out to aniyei akim, you don't give it to aniyei Yisrael. Now the problem here is that this Gemara sounds like accepting money from tzedakah from goyim causes the galus to go longer. If that's the case, who cares whether it's bitzino or bifarhesia? It should always be aser to accept money from goyim. Now, there are many answers to this. There are like 6 or 7 answers, and as we're going to see, based on these answers, most cases of accepting money from a goyim today will have many of these terutzim, and in most cases, it'll be mutter, but we'll have to come back next week to figure out when. Now, as far as the Hanukkah schedule, we don't know yet what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks. There, everyone, please check your emails. If you're not on the email list, please speak to Rav Aharon Subar and get your name... giving your email address so we can contact everyone.